I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 6:06 in the morning. John Turk riding the helm. He's going to be bringing us traffic reports all morning, and we're going to be weathering the storm together right here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin will be back next week. I've been filling in this week. A big pleasure. Thank you so much. There are podcasts, too. In case you missed anything, somebody wrote me and said, I missed your interview this day, Blaine. Can I download it? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you can. And thanks to the listener who gave me the tip about Jonathan Alter. I really enjoyed interviewing him yesterday. That was on my life list of things to do. So thank you. It's 6:07 in the morning, and I want to talk about the storms of the economy are such, and it has been such a week. We have been riding the bucking bronco of live speech by Obama, live speech by Palin, live speech. You know, we've been going from one event to another, and then we've been watching, you know, AIG taking over $850 billion, $85 billion of our tax money. We've been watching the banks pretty much melt down while people were shorting the stocks, which is a practice that has now been halted in both Britain and taking the British lead. The United States finally decided to put a cap on that. Short selling is when you bet that a company is going to fail and you short their stock so that you can make money on having it's a stock market thing. Only, you know, I've been listening to the jargon on this all this week, and it's like, you know, part of the way that they obfuscate and hide from us and hide their true intentions for us, it cloud them, is that they talk in economic jargon. So as much as I can, I try to listen to people like the BBC, for example, is really good at decoding all of those words. So the short sellers have been stopped in their tracks. No more trying to bet, you know, because if you bet a bank is going down, what do you think their depositor is going to do? What do you think the bank who's supposed to loan the money is supposed to do? They go, we're not loaning them any money. Now, in this maelstrom, we have seen the John McCain campaign also melt down. He has made incredibly stupid remarks over and over again. And you know what? The right-wing Republicans, this is what they're going to do. They're going to blame the regulators only. They're not going to blame the people who are greedy. Look, it's like, well that's like saying when a kid takes a hammer and smashes, let's say you're 28 years old, and you go over and you take a ball peen hammer and you hit somebody over the head. Well, my mom wasn't here to stop me. You know, my dad wasn't here to tell me no. It's like, excuse me, people, yes, the regulators are there for a reason. And yes, we should have good laws and transparency. And yes, we should have smart regulation, not too much regulation. You know, smart regulation, not dumb regulation. That's what I hope comes out of the Obama campaign as a slogan. But, you know, it's not all the regulators' fault. You know, a lot of this got started in the wake of 9/11, this current irrational bubble, which followed the bubble bursting of the dot-com boom, which was also partially falsely inflated because a lot of us were looking around and going, how are they figuring out how to make money off this stuff? Because I've been trying to make money off this stuff for 2 years, and it's real hard. And now I've, you know, been laid off in this particular area because it had to go business to business because consumers aren't making it as individual broadcasters on the Internet. I mean, so you go to work back for terrestrial broadcasting, which is what happened in my life. So, you know, it's like, so I knew, I could sense it was coming. I saw it happening in my workplace up here in the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, people know, we've known for some time, Barack Obama has been calling our attention to it for the better part of a year. But here's what they did in Bush's Washington. La, 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 9/11, la, 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 la. And in the wake of 9/11, they shored things up and dropped interest rates such that they were trying to create a bubble to save their asses then. Because remember, never forget that in August of 2001, Bush had on his desk a memo, Bin Laden determined to attack the United States of America. And what did he do? He cut brush in Crawford. That's what he did. He ignored, la, 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 la. This is a Republican's response. La, la, la. Can I please pass the greed, please? Could I please have some more greed? Thank you. You know, so they went to town. And so did some Democrats. I'm not trying to make this an entirely partisan issue. So did some of us consumers. Went, oh, yay, loans. I mean, I had an adjustable mortgage for a while. And then I went, this is dumb. I don't want this. No, And I went and refinanced, which was smart of me, thank God. And thank you, my sister. And thank you. I'm going to be talking to the mortgage guy later who helped helped us on that deal, because I looked at my sister and I said, you know, this just seems dumb to me. It feels bad. And, you know, I was 2 years ahead of time, but I was like, I don't know. This is feeling bad. And, you know, I'm glad I felt that way. But, you know, I'm not sure. People went shopping with their home equity line of credit. And I understand. Look, I've been in and out of work. I understand it's been tough. But the long-term economic fallout, we need to look back and say, wow, how did we get here? Well, we got here with cheap interest rates. We got here with greed being rampant on Wall Street, with a refusal to rein anybody in, with laws that were designed to help and encourage people to be greedy and rapacious and wrong, you know, to sit and vivisect the very economy that holds them up. And now, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go, those of us who grew up in Colorado, we remember the Resolution Trust Corporation, don't we? Yeah, we do. We remember that. Thank you, John McCain, for that being the only intelligent thing that possibly came out of your mouth, except that I'm not sure it was so intelligent. I've been reading back up on the, you know, remember how many problems they had? Because they dumped all the bad assets of the savings and loan. They went, hi, we can't handle this. We were too stupid and got into these. We lend to people who didn't have enough money. We looked the other way and went, oh, no verify income. No problem. Hey, whatever. I guess you really don't make, you know, and it's like, I guess it's just the way it goes, eh? You know, I mean, I have to say that this has been a real awakening to the idea of why I definitely will support Barack Obama cheerfully, happily, and skip to the bank to do it. Because the reality is, he's the only one who understands the big picture. He's not pulling the trigger and making long-term promises. He's going to meet with his advisors today and talk things over in depth. He called Michael Bloomberg, one of the smartest men in finance in America, who, by the way, John McCain passed up as a possible running mate. He's consulted with Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. All McCain's been doing is, I blame everybody. Well, you're the one who wanted to deregulate. I blame the regulators. He's the one who wanted to deregulate. See, he's not telling you that they didn't have as many tools to regulate. He's not telling you that the Bush administration, followed closely by McCain, looked the other way and said, spend, 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 shop, 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 war, 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 which also bled our Treasury dry. One of our first guests this week, Linda Bilmes, thank you very much, John, again for arranging that, author of $3 Trillion War. And by the way, the book finally arrived, so I'll have some great reading to do over the weekend. In terms of the depth of this depravity, this is where this administration got you. The Bush-McCain administration got you to this place. Never, ever, ever, ever forget that. So in the wake of all of this sad news, and now they're, you know what they're going to do? They're dumping it back on it, just like they did in the 80s when they went the Bush boys beginning, Bush boy two. This is like Bush boys on parade once again, screwing us over. Here we go. Here they are again. Here they are again. Here they are again. And they've done it again and again and again. And we keep going, oh, the Bush family? Oh, yeah, uh-huh. No. No. When are you going to learn? These guys are a bunch of Brahmins from New England who rip off the American people every time they get a chance. That's what they do. And John McCain, by the way, with that savings and loan scandal, look it up, was feeding at the trough like the big hog that he is. He didn't quite get nailed solid, but he definitely got reprimanded by the Senate Ethics Committee for being the great. Now, that's why he suddenly got religion and said, oh, yeah, I want reform. Well, you know what? His biographer, Elizabeth Drew, is abandoning him. A conservative magazine that will turn your eye, you'll go, what? They're going to vote for Obama? What? They're not going to vote for the right-wing reactionary? What? John McCain has betrayed every principle he found after the Keating Five scandal, after the savings and loan mess he was in the first place. So don't listen to him now. Please don't. Talk about pigs in a trough, pigs in a poke, whatever pig metaphor I can use. And I actually ate pork this morning, so I'd be more invigorated. So just so you know, I'm not picking on pigs entirely. I kind of like the little suckers, but it is, unless I have to live next door to a pig farm and then maybe not. But I think that we better start thinking about how did we get here. Now, I'm going to try to offer droppers of hope in the middle of the show. Every time we start wanting to, oh my gosh, open a vein, Aaron, this is too crazy, I can't take it. Look, we're going to talk about Hope. We're going to talk to Sustainable Dave about Sarah Palin's environmental record. And we're also going to talk about what we can do to and the offshore drilling nonsense that went on in Washington this week, which we didn't get to. We'll talk about what opportunities we may have now to deal with all of those situations. So that'll be a brief interview coming up this hour. The next hour, we're going to talk about how, you know, if you need credit, if you want to pursue buying a house or selling your house or whatever, we'll talk to a mortgage broker to see if there's any hope in all of this news on a consumer level for us, because that's who I care about. I care about you and I. Politicians in Washington, I care about because they can affect my life on the ground. So I still support Obama happily and cheerfully, and will even more, I'm sure, after he meets with his economists, because we talked to Austin Goolsbee this week. Thank you again, John Turk, for arranging that. And he gave us hope in the midst of all of this insanity. Now, I'm going to start taking your calls in just a second, so hang in. Don't worry. But I wanted to give you a billboard of the show. We're also going to laugh with Christy Harvey, which, believe you me, we all need. And I've got some ideas on women running for office. I've got views of Sarah Palin, fun things we can do to counteract Sarah Palin. So it'll also be a fun, lighthearted show as well, I promise. The storms are passing, the clouds are going, but guess who's going to be carrying the freight? You and I, and not only you and I, my nephews, your children, your grandchildren. That's what's going to happen, I'm telling you. This scandal is so bad, and we're going to be buying bad paper. Right, do we sell bad paper to the Chinese? No, that's for the U.S. taxpayer. Thank you, George Bush, John McCain, and all of you right-wing reactionaries who just went, greed, greed, spend, spend, rip the people off. Who cares? We're making money. They're doing it again, by the way, by announcing all of this nonsense that they're going to dump bad paper on us. The markets went cheerful again. It's 6:18 in the morning, but the clouds are parting. They are. I'm going, if I have to get up there in the sky and help them. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron. I don't really believe I'm that powerful. Thank you. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 6:18 in the morning. It's time for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk.
Watch Tina Fey on Saturday night.
I watched with the volume all the way down, and I thought it was hilarious. She was spot on.
So, do you think you could play her one day?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was hilarious. Again, didn't hear a word she said, but the visual, spot on.
It was spot on. Did anyone ever say that before? There was a similarity in her voice?
They've been saying that for years up in Alaska. In fact, I dressed up as Tina Fey once for Halloween, and so we've been doing that. Poor Tina Fey's been doing that.
You know, that's Sarah Palin in a nutshell. I saw it, I watched it, but I didn't listen to a word. I just talked. She's actually taken to interrupting McCain on the campaign. John, can I speak? And then, you know, making some, yesterday's dumb point that I just loved was somebody asked her to talk about foreign policy and why she had the experience. And she said, well, if you want to play stump the candidate, you can. You know, I'll do stump the candidate. And it's like, what? By the way, she never gave any specifics, never talked about why she's qualified. I want to hear her tell me why she's qualified. Please, jump up. Give me your record, because I've got your record, and you're not qualified, my friend. And it would be highly sexist of me to vote for anyone who I think is not qualified for office just because they're a girl. 303-713-7600. She's coming back. I wish I were going to be there to talk about it. Okay. anyway, it's 303-713-7600. We've got to find some hope, though. And one of the ways that you can have hope is there's a fun thing that Planned Parenthood is doing, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Also, vote, vote, vote. Villius writes to remind us. I called earlier in the show. We ran out of time. This was yesterday. I'm a volunteer for Obama campaign in Gunnison. I want to stress the need to register and vote by mail if you're a firm Barack supporter. A large voter turnout is expected, and not only will there be long lines, but it will also take time to vote due to the amount of ballot issues. Oh, my goodness, the longest one since 1912? Please do it at your kitchen table. You know, the ballots up here have gotten really complicated, too, and I just sit at my kitchen table now. I actually go to the poll. If you miss the polling stations, which I do occasionally, who knows, I may even work it this year. It's like go in and deliver your ballot to them. It's 303-713-7600. I know we've got full lines, so I will be mindful of that. But Colorado is on the list of a new government accountability office as a place where there may be problems because of the voting in 2006, the crash computer registration. Remember that? 20,000 left the polling places. So I'm going to take his suggestion. Please, you know, if you can vote by mail, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Governor Ritter says vote early, too, so that way we're not waiting up until, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning to find out Barack Obama is president of the United States with an ulcer. Peter in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Actually, I'm in Boulder, so you're a liar like the Republicans, Aaron.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, John gave it to me as Denver, so I
can't
see.
John's a liar, too.
Oh, I see. You're just going to call us up and call us liars? Why is that productive? Why is that intelligent? And why shouldn't I hang up on you now? Because you're obviously got the IQ of a turnip. So go ahead, turnip. Go ahead, turnip in Denver.
I'm joking, Aaron. My God.
Well, I don't take context. Liar. I first open up a phone call with no context.
I'm sorry. Look, can you get the sound of that Sarah Palin response to the question of the woman who asked her about her foreign policy experience? Because before you mentioned it, while I was on hold, that's what I was going to ask you. It was so incredible. She didn't answer anything.
No.
And she made a complete fool out of herself. Also, I talked to John and said, boy, if he could get, like, the first minute of Limbaugh's show. I have this tendency to write at about 12:06 when his show starts in the Denver market. Just tune him in because that's when the bovine excreta is really flowing at full force. Oh,
right.
It was just sickening and disgusting. He's calling Barack Obama a Chicago thug, code language, and a community agitator. And after about, normally I can take him for about 2-3 minutes. I just turned it off because it was so sickening. And that's the level to which the Republicans have sunk. And John McCain has totally abandoned whatever tiny amount of principles he had. He's just, I mean, it's shocking to me that he would, we all knew it was going to be dirty and ugly, but the extent to which he has abandoned all principles is just mind-boggling.
I know. It is mind-boggling, and that sound is amazing. And I'm sure John, if he can manage it, we'll find it. If he can find it, I mean, it's also it takes some look. I don't know all the logistics, but we'll see. And I'm sure John heard
you.
But it is one of those things, my friend, that I could not believe it when I heard that ad. And then yesterday I was on the floor laughing. It wasn't very funny. I mean, did you hear the McCain interview where he confused Jose Luis Rodriguez Zapatero? Miami.
I'm a journalist. I have 7 video recorders. I listen to, probably 10 different radio programs during the day. I record stuff on a DVD recorder so I can listen to it at, like, midnight.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm just inundated with it. And I've got a new term for Sarah Barracuda. I call her the pork bull.
My favorite name for her is now Mussolini.
Mussolini. Yeah. I love the have you seen the Sarah Palin doll, which Jimmy Kimmel dubbed like the sluttiest librarian in
history?
Oh,
I know. She's got cleavage and everything, I guess. Thank you very much for your call, Peter. I appreciate it. Sorry I called you a turnip, but you called me a liar first.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It wasn't clear that you were joking. It was like, whoa, what's this guy coming out of the box with? It's also early in the morning, and it's Friday. All right, here's the thing. I really, if you have not heard that radio sound from, it is just amazing to me because this sound is too scratchy really to use on radio in a way because it's hard to hear. But in an interview with a Miami reporter, she asks, what are you going to do about Jose Luis Zapatero, who Bush has been mad at because Spain pulled out of Iraq? And he's like, well, I've always had good relationships in Latin America and the hemisphere. And she goes, well, don't you mean Europe? I mean, it's like, and Bush is going, McCain is going, Freudian slip. McCain is going, I've always had good relationships with Latin America and the hemisphere. And it's clear he doesn't understand, A, who Jose Luis Rodriguez Zapatero is. He doesn't understand, apparently, that he's the head of Spain, which happens to be in Europe. He didn't understand that, we weren't talking to him. So the Bush, the McCain campaign, which is getting used to being extremely defensive, puts out, oh, well, we were hard line. We said we wouldn't talk to him unless, he listened. And it's like, oh. You guys are incredibly dumb, aren't you? You're just, it's like the guy is either out to lunch, not listening, or else he doesn't understand geopolitics. And foreign policy is his suit, Marion Denver? I mean, foreign policy is his strong suit?
Well, you know, I think water seeks its own level with he and Palin. They're both kind of stupid. My thing is with Todd. He's supposed to be home taking care of the children.
So yes, Todd is supposed to be home.
He's glued to her side, like they're afraid this kid that just made it through high school will open his mouth and say something.
Well, the other thing is, why isn't he home? Because he'll be subpoenaed or arrested because he's supposed to appear. And they're, by the way, they're stonewalling that. They got a big lawyer in who used to go after terrorists. They brought in the big guns. Callahan, I think his name is.
Do you think they might be distracting people, saying, you know, let's make this big thing up, and then we'll turn her into a martyr right the day before election and blame it on the Democrats for attacking this poor woman. That's kind of a Machiavellian.
They're going to do anything they can, rig the votes, do what, they're going to pull out all stops. Look, I read this thing by Elizabeth Drew, who is his biographer. She wrote Citizen McCain, and she says, he's disappointed me to the point, I can't support him. This is awful. This isn't the John McCain I knew. And the reality is, this guy has betrayed his principles so badly. She said, you know, he wrote in one of his memoirs that he doesn't really want to be president because he wants to serve the country, like that ridiculous slogan he's using, country first, my Aunt Fanny. But in any event, he's sitting there and saying, you know, I just have the ambition to be president. I just want to be president. And you can tell he gets that naked look on his face where it's like, how dare you try to take this from me?
He's scary. But, you know, I heard something about these people in Michigan that lost their homes and they're trying to take the vote away
from them. Foreclosure lists. Right. Code for,
whatever.
Lower
and then
income.
The guy on television is addressing these people and he says, go on your computer and do this. They don't have a computer. They got to give them a phone number or something to call.
Yeah.
You know, and then I want to get a hold of Rachel Maddox or to get on MSNBC. I can't find an email. I mean, you know, how do you get a hold of these people when you hear something?
I think you go to,
you're lucky. You've been good. You put your phone number up a lot. But these people that are want to get contacted, they got to let people get to them.
This is true. Well, if I have time, I'll look at the MSNBC website. But have you been to their website to see if there's a way to write her show?
I thought it was Rachel at MSNBC.net, but
I don't think so. I think it's another address. But anyway, her last name is Maddo,
Maddow. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Rob in Lakewood, thanks for joining us on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Coming up, we're going to have a brief interview with Sustainable Dave. Hi, Rob in Lakewood. Welcome.
Good morning. Aaron.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
I love what you're doing here. You're definitely way better than that Lionel guy. But I always enjoy hearing you. Thank you very much for subbing for Jay.
Thank you.
One thing that I don't think we hear quite enough about is to register by the 10th.
Yes, because, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Because
it's 30 days before the election or short, something like that.
Yeah, so yeah. People, get out there, Coloradans. And
register to vote.
Even if you're not sure where you are registered, do it again. It can never hurt. Go to the DMV. People are even going to clubs and trying to get people to register. I have a good friend who's doing lots of volunteering, and that's where I keep hearing it from. I haven't heard it on the radio anywhere else.
No, that's a good idea. October 10th, register to vote, and sign up for because the ballot's so long, they're estimating it's going to take people 20 minutes to do it, so to vote.
Early voting is always there. People can vote early. Vote early. Everybody vote early
and vote from your kitchen table. Kitchen table voting. Get your vote by mail. Have a party if you want to. Sit around and vote together or vote by yourself at your kitchen table. Yay.
And I think it should be a national holiday, personally.
Me too.
I don't know why it's not. Everybody should get paid.
I think it should be a two-day national holiday.
Right to vote.
I agree. I agree with you completely. Thank you very much, Robin Lakewood. I love that suggestion, and thanks for the reminder. Register to vote. Get a by-mail ballot. 6:34 it is. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for Jay Marvin. Time for Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Sustainable Dave coming up next, and more of your phone calls. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. And again, I promised in this avalanche of bad news this week, as I fill in here on the J. Marvin Show, I promised, hey, you know, we've got to have some doses of hope here. We've got to have some inspiration. We've got to get alternative viewpoints or we're going to go nutty. By the way, I just want to state one thing quickly about the vote. We're double checking it because we think it's the 6th is the deadline, not the 10th. It has to be a month. I think you have 30 days before the election to register to vote in Colorado. At least that's the way the law was the last time I registered to vote in Colorado. So just make sure you register to vote. And I think the deadline is earlier. So don't wait until the last minute. We may have had a Republican plant giving us the wrong date. So we just want to let you know that. Dave Kamides is my guest next. He is Sustainable Dave. And those of you who listen to Mario's show would know that I talked to him a bit the last time I filled in over the summer. And I thought I'd grab you at the airport where you're on your way somewhere, Sustainable Dave, and check in because you sent some things around about Sarah Palin's interview by Charlie Gibson, because this election's very important to you. You're a very sustainable kind of guy, and you believe in all sorts of environmental sanity. So how is this election shaping up from your point of view, Sustainable Dave? And good morning.
And good morning. Thank you for having me on. I hope
you're
you
welcome.
Too many airport announcements in the background.
Sorry.
How is this election shaping up? Well, you know, it's definitely the most interesting that I've seen in a long time. That's for sure. I don't know whether you've been talking about energy or what you folks have been talking about.
We basically have been talking about the economic meltdown. So there were going to be two questions I'd wanted you to address. One is, who's the most green candidate in the race in terms of your mind? Who would be better for voters to perhaps consider, and why, or what to look for in a candidate, if you don't want to specifically be blatant about talking about specific candidates? And I can certainly understand that. But also, I wanted you to talk about maybe a couple of quick tips that people can use to save money and be sustainable at the same time.
Sure, no problem. I mean, I'll tackle the first one first, which is, I don't want to tell people who to vote for, but specifically, I think people need to realize that we are on a lot of levels, obviously, sort of at a crux, and the next 4, 8, 10 years are going to be really, really important in how energy is dealt with in this country. We're right now on a pretty scary road, which is basically if you take the road of we're using oil and we're using coal and we're using fossil fuels and we need more of them, that's one road that a lot of people are taking, and that's what, you know, unfortunately they've just started to push through this offshore drilling stuff that just happened the other day.
Yes.
And you know what I always say to people is this: you don't get a heroin addict off of heroin by giving them more heroin. And the bottom line is, we are all addicted to fossil fuels. And I can go into a big thing about where we are with fossil fuels or whatever, but
no, we don't have time for that. We need sort of the highlights.
And I'm not going to. But the bottom line of it is if it takes 100 million years for this stuff to be created, we're going to run out at some point. So we need to start seeking alternatives. In my personal opinion, you know, John McCain has pushed forward this idea that we're going to get 35 nuclear power plants within the next, I don't know, what is it, 20 or 30 years. Besides the known problems with nuclear power, the big one that nobody talks about is it takes a tremendous amount of water. And if people think that oil right now is a big problem, wait until you see what's going to be happening with water.
Good point.
So this is something that people don't talk about, and we can't afford to do. Barack Obama, and I don't know if he's going to do this, but at least he's talking about this, in his acceptance speech said, in 10 years, we need to be off. Now, he said in 10 years, we need to be off of Middle Eastern oil. I think in 10 years, we need to be off of all oil, and it's possible, and there are a lot of people who say that it is.
That's what you and I would like.
That's what I would like. And I think, truthfully, in all honesty, if you could somehow show everybody how it could be done and make it, I don't think there's anybody alive who would say, unless they're making a ton of money off of it, but I don't think your average person out there would say, I want to pay money to an oil company as opposed to I want to have solar panels on my roof and an electric car. And like my friend Paul Scott, who has just that, pay $44 a year for all of his electricity and all of his transportation needs. I mean, who doesn't want that? You know? And as I tell my friend Paul, I just mentioned, as I tell people, look, it's true that Paul paid a lot of money for these things, but what if every new house that's built had solar panels on it? And what if the only car you could buy would be an electric car? Well, then suddenly we're in a situation where everybody has the means, obviously, does have that option. And so in a long-term goal, does it make sense to be, however it is, generating power in various places around the country and piping it all over? Or does it make sense to have the power that you need generated on top of your house, in the ground under your house, right at the source, use what you need, send back what you don't? I mean, just on a larger level, that makes sense. And
it really does. Now, in terms of saving us some money in this economic maelstrom, I think everybody's like, well, but some green solutions are really expensive and it's really scary. And, you know, I mean, you'd be proud of me. I actually made a point of buying I'm refinishing some furniture, and I actually bought water-based stain and water-based. I know it's still not great necessarily,
yeah,
but you know. I'm trying to, you know, wean my way off of oil-based products and get more into doing things naturally. And it's more elbow grease, but it actually made me feel happy, and it also didn't make me dizzy when I was doing it either.
Some people may look at that as a minus, some people may look at that as a plus.
But you
just encapsulated exactly what I talk about a lot. It was, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. So you're choosing where you can do what you can do, and you're pushing forward, and you found that it's not so bad. But to give you, I mean, unfortunately, the ideas that I'm going to give you are not going to, like, you know, they're not going to get these companies that have just gone bankrupt out of bankruptcy. But there are ways that, I mean, I'll give you a very simple one. A lot of people drink bottled water. I happen to use, and I'm at the airport right now, so I just went through the checkpoint and filled it up at the water fountain. I use a metal aluminum water bottle, and I reuse it. Now, if you break it down, like let's say you drink 2 bottles of water a day for 300 days out of the year, just to put a number on it, $600 a year. I can get that same amount of water out of my tap for about $3 a year. So
that's
saving money.
That's good.
$597, not to mention the environmental impact that you're having. Now, the bottle that I bought, which happens to be a pretty nice one, I think I have a SIG. There's one, Eco-Usables makes them clean canteen. They're like $15, $20, but they'll last like 8-9 years easy, unless you're like me, in which case I'll probably ruin mine before that. But either way, it's going to pay for itself in the first year. Now, let's say you're one of those people who goes, you know, I don't like my tap water. I don't like how it tastes. And in this country, we have wonderful, amazingly clean drinking water, but some people, the pipes in their houses aren't great or whatever. You can tack on a filter. You can get a filter for about $100 a year. You're still beating the curve, and that's going to continue to pay for itself. So right there, you're saving a ton of money. I mean, that's a really simple one that I think everybody can do and we all need to do.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And your website, I was excited to read, sustainabledave.org, will be officially launched January 1st, and it'll be one-stop shopping for anybody who has environmental questions. There'll be video, how-tos, social networking, social action, and much more, which is great. And you have a book coming out, 365 Days of Solutions, which you've been writing as you've been saving and examining your trash.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea is 365 Days of Solutions because, you know, I was sort of looking at it and I thought, you know, everybody needs another green book, like we all, you know, need a fifth arm. There's so many out there. But when I started looking at them, the one thing that I didn't find is there's not a book where it's just you open it up and it just says, you know, corks, wine corks. What do you do with it instead of throwing it away? Here's three options, a very honest pro, a very honest con, and then, you know, a link to more information if you want it. And so each one will take you 10 seconds to read. And, you know, you'll decide if you want to do it. And again, not everybody's going to do everything. Nobody's going to do everything. But everybody can do some of them, and you'll find that it's not that hard.
And go ahead. And so every day we'll bring you a new one, sort of like a daily calendar. That sounds
exactly
great. I
and
love this.
And then through the website, which is the website where, I mean, I'm hoping it's going to launch January 1st, or it will, but we're hoping we get everything done in time. One of the things that we're going to be doing is we're trying to decide every day or every week, but we're going to release a probably 1 to 1.5 minute video that's funny and goofy and kind of, you know, fun to watch, but gets the message across of each of these tips. So it won't only be that the book's out there, but it'll also be if you want to sign up for the newsletter, you can just have it emailed to you and you get this, like, goofy little video of me or someone else doing it. We've got actors lined up doing them and all sorts of things. So I think it's going to hopefully be yet another and hopefully a very successful way of getting people to go, you know, this doesn't make sense. And what we try to do, which is what I try to do when I talk, is to not go, you're wrong for doing this, but going, these are the real facts here. You know, you're paying $600 for water. You could be paying $3 for water. Which one makes more sense to you?
Yeah, that's why I like having you on. I like talking to you. And I can already see that I'll have good holiday gifts and all kinds of things for you from 365 Days of Solutions. And I'm not just
Absolutely.
Saying that. I will do it. SustainableDave.org, by the way, is up and running now. So those of you
yes.
who want to check it out, it does exist. It's just going to have maybe a relaunch, a formal launch on January 1st.
And the blog that they can look at, which is the blog about me saying my trash, is 365daysoftrash.com. And that's got all sorts of tips. And I just put a thing on there, actually. If you go there right now, I think it's on the left-hand side. There's like 8.2 things you can do right now.
Oh, I love that.
I like
8.2. I like that it's illogical, too.
That's right. I figured it would draw more people in. But, you know, it's, well, one of them is sort of just about thinking differently, so I figured that's a little different. But, yeah, the bottom line is we just all have to stop taking all this for granted and think a little differently. And I think as far as voting, you have to say, what do I want my future to look like? Do I want it to be dirty coal, and do I want it to be reliant on people going down into mines to dig things out and buying oil from other countries? Or do I want to have the sun, you know, powering my house from the top of my roof?
And the wind running my dishwasher, you know, that's what I dream about. Yeah,
exactly.
No,
exactly. These are all doable things. That's the thing that everybody needs to realize. We just need the will to do it.
Oh, Dave, I think we all need things to do, too, right now, where we feel like we're empowered again. So thank you so much for joining us today. Safe travels, safe journeys, wherever you're headed. And thank you so much for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Thank you. Aaron, do I have 1 second to throw one final thing in there for your listeners?
Of course, please do.
Because you mentioned wind, and just, you know, I want to leave it on a really, not that anything is a negative, but a positive note, is from what I understand, there are 100,000 windmills in the world right now, and it's been said that if we get 1 million windmills or 900,000 more, we'll be able to generate 1/4 of the world's power and do it cleanly and cheaply, and you're done, because wind keeps blowing X, Y, and Z, right? So most people go, well, 900,000 windmills, or 90 million cars made last year. So this is an infinitesimal amount. And then people say, well, who's going to make these? Well, if you do a little research, in the early 40s, there were no American cars made. And that's because the government, the U.S. government, went to the car manufacturers and said, you're going to start making tanks and planes and guns and things we need for the war effort. And the car company said, well, how are we going to make money? And they said, we're going to pay the exact same amount you are making. You're going to be fine. You'll keep everybody. You'll pay everybody the same. Your finances will be the same. You're just going to make a different product for it. And all that took was the political will and the desire on the people's part to do whatever they needed to do to win the war effort. Well, this is a war, but it has a really good outcome, and we don't need to kill anybody to win it. We just need the political effort to get behind it and the people to demand this and say, hey, this is a simple solution. We need to do this.
I love that. You know, say, again, I, the way you put things makes me see it so clearly. And, you know, we've got a big election coming out in the 4th District in Colorado. We spoke to the candidate yesterday, Betsy Markey, and one of the things she wants to do is put wind turbines in eastern Colorado, which is pretty windy, I can guarantee you.
There you go.
So, you know, this ties into a lot of what we've been talking about this week. And again, gives us hope at a time, Dave, when we really, really need it. So, again, I very much appreciate your time, literally on the go. So thanks very much. And I look forward to talking to you sometime soon.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it, too. Be well.
Thank you. You too. Dave Kamides, my special guest, he is a wonderful guy. And I just, he happens to be the cousin of a dear friend of mine here in Seattle. And SustainableDave.org, which is how we met. I went to one of his talks up here and became an immediate groupie because his website is so much fun. So do check it out, SustainableDave.org. And his blogs is once again, 365 Days of Trash. And I will post that on my listeners forum. I think it's already on there, but it's further down, so I'll repost it at the top. so that everybody can avail themselves of Sustainable Dave's suggestions. And do buy his book. He's a great guy. He's wonderful. You know, just his bio alone makes me smile. Married with two daughters, they inspired him to get green, by the way. One dog, Biscuit, two rats, Annie and Sophie, and 10,000 worms, names too numerous to mention. 652, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado.
Wait, did you say he has pet rats?
Aggressive talk. Yes, he has two rats.
Jeez.
Annie and Sophie and 10,000 worms, who are too numerous to mention.
I'm sure.
Yes.
But does he know he has 10,000? What if it's under 10,000?
I don't know. He doesn't count them, I don't think. But this is a guy who lives with all the trash
rats.
He does. He's keeping all the trash he has in his basement, John. He's monitoring it. He's trying to reduce, reuse, and recycle. If you go to his website, you can see the pictures of the trash in his basement.
Oh, man.
It's like fabulous.
Yeah, that is fab.
His wife is really fabulous because she puts up with it. But anyway, no. He drives he drives on veggie oil. He does, you know. And he's also a cameraman. He is an Emmy Award-winning cameraman. He works on ER, Failsafe, you know that movie?
Uh-huh.
He's worked on Third Watch and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, so there.
Interesting dude. No, he's...
No, he's fabulous. He's one of my faves. Thank you very much, and we'll be off with John Turk once again with traffic. He'll be guiding us there. 6:53 it is on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Isn't Sustainable Dave fun? And he's also he's actually a cameraman, which is really kind of fun too. He goes to Edmunds.com to write articles about alternative fuel vehicles, if you want to know about that. He has a solar tube installed in his hallway, to bring daylight into his house. He says it's easier and cheaper to install than a skylight. And his backpack is hilarious. It even has one of those little bowls that you can mold and do all those things. So he believes in the power of hope. His message is simple and non-judgmental. Give people the facts, as Harry Truman says, and they will make the right decision. So that's sort of my motto as a talk show host. So I am very, very glad to be talking to you today, too. And thanks to John, who just sent me a missive that also talked. If you think John McCain is an option, let me just point out quickly. Reporters at Mother Jones Washington Bureau say 83 at least of McCain's advisors and fundraisers have lobbied for the financial industry he is promising to fix. We know how well he did with that last time. Articles list 83 advisors and financial institutions have lobbied for. Lehman Brothers, AIG, Merrill Lynch, sound familiar? Washington Mutual. Sounds very familiar. They are high paid influence peddlers who have been working in the corridors of the nation's capital to win favors and special treatment for investment banks, securities firms, hedge funds, accounting outfits, and insurance companies. Forget about it. All right, we're gonna have hope as well as your comments. Do please call. I will get back to your phone calls coming up in the top of the next hour. You're the star of the show. We'll have a brief interview with a mortgage broker. So if you've got any questions on how to refinance or anything else, give us a call too, because he'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. So if you want to get lined up for that, do so. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.